The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
and your drinking JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're handsome. No, you're very handsome. But don't ever shave your face. I don't want to see the clear outlines of your visage. JC.
This is why I can't shave my face.
Yeah.
If I shave my, like, if I shave my beard off, I have no chin.
Small chin. Yeah, good chin. It's not that small and chin.
It is.
The mustache grew back.
It did.
Yeah. Forrest?
Jimmy, you look like a politician.
I've seen a smaller chin. He was named Bob. He was at high school. Bob Chin. Tiny guy.
Oh.
Is that true?
Walker's cousin.
Not every Asian is my cousin, Dubs. Once again.
Bob Chin, no?
The fucking racism on this show.
Oh, God.
No, we're allowed to because we've got an Asian friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what
just
I hear.
Licensed to,
You're allowed to be racist.
Just like the misogyny.
Yeah. I've got a woman friend.
Yeah.
You can say whatever.
I've got a mom.
That's Footy Prime, and kind of steering blind today.
Not really. I'm steering us. Yes. Oh, so you host.
Okay.
I'll throw in.
Oh, comments, because it's comment show.
Tiercius, look out!
It's a Monger's whale sack today.
Awesome. Monger's whale sack.
Yeah. Good old days. By
Monger's whale sack. Full house as well. Jimmy's here and Craig's here. JC, you've heard Dubs and Wonga, and I'm Shams. So do you want to get right to it, or is there something at the top you want to touch on?
No, I wanted to talk about, there's a couple things. Our 2,000 push-ups that you've signed up for. I just wanted to mention that again. We are going to be doing it, and Dubs figured did the math because she's so good at math, as all women are. 91 push-ups a day.
Stereotypes, you asshole.
Yeah. Is that the average?
91 push-ups a day is the average that we have to hit throughout that period from the 5th to the 27th, 22 days to do 2,000 push-ups. So I'm just looking at you, Sharms. I'm looking at you, JC, but you threw in you might want to do the squats. I don't think you should do the squats. I think
you should. Challenge.
It's not a squat challenge.
No, look it up. So this whole thing, it's not just
push-ups. I understand, but my point is challenge yourself to do the push-ups. That's all. Three sets of 30.
One arm.
Storm should do the squats. That will help his ass.
That's true.
It's true, actually. Yeah. That's not a bad point. No, but the way they do it very well, they break it up. So it's not like you're doing 90 every day. You're starting off pretty slow, and then you build up. And it's not like all at once. You can spread them out throughout the day with JC. So it could be 91 on one day, but you're not doing, unless you want to, you can do 20 now, 20 at lunch.
Just three an hour.
If you wake up at 3 a.m., do another 20. Like, how are you hitting the number, though, is what I don't understand.
You count. There's an app for it. You do three sets of 30.
Right. But what Sharms is saying, you start slow. But if you have to hit 90 a day on average in order to hit 2,000.
It goes up. There's some big days towards the end.
Best of luck.
So how many do you do now?
Who?
Both of you. Have you started or not?
No. The fifth. I did it last year. I managed it. It's not that. It's you just pace yourself. It's doable. It's very doable. If I can do it, anyone can do it.
You just do it as you go throughout the day. You're at the grocery store. You pop down, do a couple.
Yeah.
You know, you get pulled over. Just do some push-ups.
Have someone beneath you. They all count.
One, the two, asshole, and that's it.
We talked about that a few pods ago.
Yeah.
Or Tony.
You guys made it sound like you're climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah, I know. Kidding. I'm not. These are.
I'm not either.
Jimmy can't believe that. Why wouldn't you try it, Jimmy? Why not? Because you're too fit. You could do like 4,000. Is that the issue here?
I do push-ups every day.
So why wouldn't you do this and raise money for a good cause? Exactly.
Yeah. Now we'll get into comments. So welcome to Wonger's mail sack. That's all I'm saying. The most comments we had over the last week was Jesse's contract. So I want to start off with that one because I don't think we dug in. These are all things we're going to dig in a little deeper on. So feel free to comment. Let's debate all of the above. Our friends, our friend at Kilmus 99. So this is about whether or not Jesse should have his contract signed or reestablished with extended. That would be the word. And there's Dub's eyes. We also have to keep an eye on after the World Cup where we will have to qualify. Not sure how desirable the Canada job is. Sure, we have 2 to 4 interesting players, but prestige and salary-wise, we are CONCACAF, not CONMEBOL or UEFA. Also, big contracts for a big-name coach cost money the association may not have. Then there's at Boxberry. It's a gamble. You sign him now, you potentially pay less. You sign him after the World Cup, and if it goes well, you would pay a premium or even lose him. Question is, can we afford to lose him? And our final comment at Alexander Rangelkovsky, 9141. Wow. Jesse has a lot of passion for what he believes in. He believes in his players. He believes in his tactics and also believes in getting worldwide respect for Canadian soccer. This guy fights for us. Sign him and let's start the climb to the absolute top. So really strong comments. And something that we didn't think about or we didn't comment much is that middle comment about what if he does do really well? What are the chances of losing him? That's kind of where I want to start with this question. So, Sharms, you haven't been around, so I'm not going to start with you. But, Dubs, let's say, best case scenario, Canada 16, get into the round of 16. Mm-hmm. Let's say they lose to whomever, Portugal. Let's say somebody like that. All of a sudden, we're very happy about the progress that Canada's men's team has made. Jesse Marsh looks like a bit of a star. For navigating the team through this last 2 years, what are the chances of him sticking around or us losing him if he does really well?
Yeah, if he wasn't tied up or extended on his current contract, then I think you do run the risk of losing him. And if you want him to stick around at that point, it probably costs you more because he can leverage those results. So I think a lot of people are saying that Kevin Blue and Canada Soccer are a little bit naive. While we've been impressed with the results under Jesse Marsh thus far, you can point to Copa America, you can point to as a success, you can point to disappointments at, you know, Nations Leagues and Gold Cups, where they arguably had the team to win a trophy, their first one since Jimmy and Craiger. Mm-hmm. Won it in 2000, and it looked like the timing was right to do it, and they fell short, but they've rebounded, and I think they're well set up to go into this World Cup and have some success. So I think you have to compare. So maybe a bit of naivete because he remains quote-unquote unproven because he hasn't taken the team to a major tournament, but I think the enthusiasm that he has, the attractiveness of the program, the standing of the program, despite them dropping 2 spots in the latest FIFA rankings. And there have been other comments that we might get to where they're saying this isn't the team's World Cup. It's actually 2030. Mm-hmm. I would disagree with that. And we can dig into that a little bit more.
I have one. Just so you know, I do have one there where it's, yeah.
I think the time is now. And if I want to go back to that first comment, I think the team has more than 3 or 4 interesting players. Like, this team has some generational talents who are not even in their prime yet. And we're talking about the competition at each position, the depth of roster, the growing depth of the playing pool or the player pool. So I think the time really is now, and I don't think we can compare ourselves to other nations. Canada is its own thing. We're unique. I think we have to take risks. And if you see locking up Jesse Marsh for and extending his contract now as a risk, then I don't think you really know the landscape and a situation in Canada. I think it's smart to extend him on a contract.
Craiger?
Yeah, there's always an element of risk no matter what you do. It could go both ways. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, I don't think it's all that much of a risk to re-sign him at this moment. I don't think anybody would regret it long-term, to be honest with you.
I think we need to also understand that as much as Jesse Marsh has done a great job at Canada and he's a name, great personality, I acknowledge there will be opportunities post-World Cup if he doesn't sign. Of course he will be. But it seems that, I think Craig mentioned last time, that international football really seems to suit him. He likes it. So how many international jobs are out there? I don't see a European team because of his passport, which is totally unfair, right? But hiring an American to coach a decent European team, I just don't see that happening. And maybe I'm wrong.
I'm going to give you a scenario really quickly. Pochettino and the U.S. men's team crash out early.
That's what's getting
like a crash out. What do you think?
Well, I think regardless of that, I think Poch is probably going to be leaving, but going back to club football. So there's the natural fit for Jesse Marsh, having already interviewed for the job and being a proud American. He's proud Canadian now as well, right? But he can easily become a proud American again. So that's the one opportunity that I think Canada will be competing against. And I think because of that, you should re-sign him. But at the same time, yeah, he's done a great job. But listen, but it's not as if there aren't any other great coaches out there. I think Jimmy mentioned that last time, right? Mm-hmm. There's other good coaches in world football outside Jesse Marsh. And if Jesse Marsh doesn't sign and gets procured by another team post-World Cup, it doesn't mean this great group of talent that we have right now is going to suddenly become crap. There's going to be a list of high-profile football people wanting to be involved with this team because of the growth factor, the opportunity at this club right now, this team. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I love Jesse Marsh. I think he's great. I hope he resigns, but I'm not panicked if he doesn't.
Mm-hmm. I know Jimmy hasn't weighed in yet, but don't you think that there's a ceiling now with the synergy of Jesse Marsh and the style of football that he wants to play and the way that aligns with the talent that we have, the types of players that we have? I don't think we've seen that executed yet. I don't think we've seen them at their best. And I think it would be a shame to cut them loose before we reach that potential.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'd sign him now. Because I agree with everything you said there, but I'm saying it's not the unmitigated disaster if he doesn't sign and he goes somewhere else.
Right? Sure.
When John Herdman left, we're all a little bit concerned. Man, John did such a great job with this team, got into a World Cup, you know? Brotherhood, all this stuff. Oh God. Now what?
Swords. Well, they
swords, right? They had swords in the dressing room, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
Jesus. They found Jesse Marsh. I think, isn't there? No, it's not a rock. What does Jesse have? There's something similar, isn't there? I'm sure.
Olives. Rock. A pet rock.
It's olives. Rock. It's a big jar of olives. Right?
Symbolic.
That's what it is.
Metaphorical.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, what do you think? I mean, are you not to take over the hosting role here, but
you're hosting. Are you worried?
I'm just throwing out. Jimmy, if Jesse Marsh doesn't resign before the World Cup, are you concerned for the future of this program?
No, I'm not concerned for the future of the program simply because of the players that we have. And they're good players playing high-level football. And those players can adapt to any manager that comes in. They do it at club level. They can do it at international level. That's not going to be the issue. I just think you have a good manager right now that's getting the best out of the players. They're playing decent brand, have an identity. If he leaves and then another manager comes in, does it change at all? Does he bring his own style of playing? That's going to take some time for the players to adjust. I just think the players are in a good spot right now. And I'm going to put it this way. We've been watching Ali Ahmed playing for Norwich. And Ali is playing very similar to the way that he does in Canada. Mm-hmm. That press where he's going, he's aggressive. And it's working for him. And I think the players now that are playing on this national team, you can see it reflecting in their domestic leagues, the way that they're playing. So I think it's genuinely helping the players because they're a little bit more aggressive in their approach, the way they go close down, the way that they want to get forward with purpose. So I think it's helping the players, and not only at the international level, but also at the club level. So I think he's done a good job. And if he does leave and you don't sign him and he has a good World Cup, of course, everybody wants that next hot manager that does well at international level. So for him to get another job will not be a problem. I think around the world, people are recognizing this Canadian national team in the way that they're playing. But if you are Canada right now, I think, yeah, you hold on to him.
Maybe Bill Bradley can get the job, won't he?
For the New York Knicks.
Hey, listen, yes. I saw it. That's a really funny quote.
Billy Bob Bradley.
Oh my God, that killed me.
We also have to mention our friend Jimmy Brennan has now a new backdrop with a Norwich kit up. He dug through the crates. He found his Norwich kit. because Ali Ahmed and his proud Norwich yellow, canary yellow, is up there. So just so everyone at Norwich City, Jimmy's representing, FYI.
And you missed on Monday. I had a Forest jersey up. I will alternate and I will change it.
Oh, who are you?
I don't know. Maybe you have a mic that works as well by then.
Right here, dumbass.
I don't think it's working, though.
I don't think it's working either.
It's working.
No, it's not. I don't think it is. Tap it.
No, it's not.
No, it's not working.
It's not working.
It isn't working. But we know the thought and the effort is there. We understand that.
Dubs mentioned the influence Jesse Marsh was having on players on his camps. There, that's working.
That's what's working.
Oh
now.
My goodness!
I'm glad the tech guys were on form early.
Oh, sorry about that. Yes. Once again, leading into the Asian, the good old tech guy, Dubs. You had mentioned basically the same thing as Jimmy in different words, but about that influence.
Better words.
Maybe better, but in the same space, Jesse is having that influence in his windows, and these players are bringing them back to their respective clubs. Mm-hmm. That's got to be great for going back to how the clubs are looking at Jesse Marsh's, like, releasing them too. Hey, go back to your international sides. I'm always wondering, because Craig and Jimmy always told me about how that can be an issue. Mm-hmm. If they're coming back, these players looking refreshed, but and feeling exuberant and enthusiastic about this high press and all these energized words. There's another one. I mean, that's got to be great for the club managers too.
Yeah. Creates an electric environment.
Thank you.
More E words.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading something and I'm not dodging your question, but we are talking about Fonzie getting his first start in 10 months for Bayern Munich. And we know what went down within the past year between Bayern Munich and Canada Soccer and Jesse Marsh, and not necessarily Vincent Kompany, but the brass over at Bayern Munich, and not thrilled with how Alphonso Davies was managed. And so people were like, oh, I wonder if he's going to get released for the March window. It's like, what do you mean? Like, it hadn't even occurred to me. Like, of course, if he's healthy and he's fit, that he would be released and he would be raring to go for Canada and Jesse Marsh in March. But maybe it's not so straightforward, right? Especially given the past and the history there. But no, I do believe, like, to Jimmy's point, because I think he made it very well, that initially when Jesse Marsh came over, he spoke publicly about the need for the players to create some continuity in between the international windows by applying the same principles at their clubs. And then we kind of went back and forth a little bit, like a little bit of a debate on here, where you can't be antithetical to the system that your club coach wants you to play because you won't get any minutes, right? But you have to do it smartly. You have to take a look at your game and how you can make tweaks here and there so that you're improving your stock, your standing with your club, but that you've got your feet underneath you whenever you rejoin the Canadian camp and you just don't miss a beat. And you're plugged in and you're ready to go to be, you know, 150% and exactly the type of energy and the commitment and the intention that Jesse Marsh wants you kind of prepared to do and to apply all those principles effectively in camp and how it translates to these friendlies or to the game situations. So it's really important. And I think you are seeing it. You're seeing the payoff now. And, you know, Jesse Marsh was hired in, you know, April of May of 2024. So I think we're seeing all of that come to fruition. But I don't think, again, to go back to my earlier point, that we've seen it kind of grow to its full potential. And I think selfishly, Jesse Marsh, you know, contracts aside, I think personally, he wants to see it reach its full potential. So if you ask Jesse Marsh, if he had his druthers, he would re-sign. And then again, like, where is the money coming from? Does Kenneth Heiner Moeller, does he have a say and a hand in what's happening now with those contract negotiations? And if Jesse Marsh leaves, it doesn't work out, and then he's poached because it's a very successful World Cup, he's not re-signed, then the next hire will be very interesting to see how it aligns with the Canadian identity.
Our friend Carrie Ryan from Footy Prime Supporters Club feel free to join that club and help support us. She mentioned, you know, the extension, contract extension and the budget, that was thrown in from MLS, some of it, right?
Yeah.
So where does, a reminder, it is the MLS national team's head coach. It's interesting to me that we would have to include them in the conversation again about, you know, all of a sudden Jesse reaching a salary that he feels comfortable with and re-signing Kevin Blue, all of the above, might have to go through the MLS again, or at least those conversations.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's been discussed already when they first did the deal.
It is, but...
You know, cycle deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be pretty poor form for Montreal or Toronto or Vancouver to say, nah, we're not doing it now in the World Cup. Yeah, sorry.
They would throw each other under the bus, wouldn't they, Sharms?
Yeah.
It's like the recent...
I didn't want to do it. But, you know, I wouldn't worry about that, honestly. I know Vancouver's got perhaps new ownership mm-hmm. in the near future, but how much are they really putting in there? At the most, what, $1 million each around there, probably, pay for the salary?
Not even.
You're right. So it's not like, you know, the Canada's head coach is making $6 million a year. It's making good money, right? But I'm sure they can afford it. I mean, TFC just paid, how much they paid to say goodbye to Insigne and Bernadeschi? $1 million isn't going to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Anyway, maybe Montreal.
Not no strings attached, though. Like, I can't imagine they have a seat at the table when decisions are being made, but it's not just, here's the money and we trust you.
Are they getting bang for their buck for the MLS part of the name?
Yeah, we haven't been using it enough, I don't think.
No. I don't think anyone's coming after us.
They also see Jesse's business cards and whether mm-hmm. it says MLS head coach.
Yeah, but like from Joey Saputo in Montreal's perspective, just with the community initiatives, even if, you know, they had the friendly against Australia, but even before that, like in windows where it was maybe a match or a friendly in Toronto, the fact that the team stopped in Montreal and they did those community initiatives and like they're there and they're giving FaceTime and they're glad handing, like that is huge, right? Like that has a payoff kind of beyond the 500K or however much money Joey Saputo is kicking in for Jesse Marsh to be this MLS head coach of Canada. So I think that there's value in it for him. Like I think he's getting bang for his buck.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, just back to that Fonzie, and I think Marsh is interesting, but Bayern Munich have no choice but to release him if he gets called up. And now,
correct.
I know behind the scenes, you know, clubs have conversations with players. And I remember speaking to Neil Webb. Remember Neil Webb, Jimmy of Forest legend, years ago? And then saying that when he was at United, he was called up by England. And Ferguson went to him and said, listen, you've got a hamstring. He goes, what do you mean? You got a hamstring. You're not going. And he went anyway. And he returned on the day after the camp finished, and he walked into the locker room and this pen whistled through past his ear and almost hit him in the eye. And it's Ferguson saying, just fucking throwing all sorts of shit at him, saying, you know, how dare you go against my wishes? I told you, you got a hamstring injury. I'm sure that still happens to a certain degree, but officially it can't, right?
Yeah. It was different back then too. That might have been before the rule changed that you had to let them go too.
Mm-hmm. Was that recent? That more recent, that rule?
Post Web, I would think.
Oh yeah, okay.
Post pen flying by his head.
Yeah,
the pen incident changed everything.
That's right.
The difference is now, though.
There's lots of pressure put on players from club level, though. Clubs don't give a shite about international football.
No,
but before, and why would they? They're protecting their own.
Yeah, managers would pull you aside and tell you something. But now, if you were to do that to a player, he'd walk out the door and all of a sudden tweet. It'd be all over social. Manager doesn't want me to play international football.
Yeah,
then you're done. Before then, there was nothing, right? Manager could say something to you. It's my word against his word. And 9 times out of 10, they're agreeing with the manager.
Jimmy, do you think Fonzie has to address it at least when he gets called up in March? Just say yeah, because he's going to be asked about it. I hope he is anyway.
For me, no, I don't care. It's over for me. Why bring it back up again? Does anybody really care at the moment? I don't. Let's move forward.
The only reason they'll care is if Fonzie plays and he's a ball hog a bit, again, tries to do too much, as we always talk about. And that's when it'll come up. And they'll go, hey, did you feel pressured? Or if he injures himself again. My God.
Yeah. I'm sure Bayern will have some close tabs on that match.
We were talking about the friendlies coming up, the preparation for the World Cup. So I wanted to bring up this photo, and you'll see it all. And it was quite interesting to me, the players that are there that we're not sure about, because this is Canada's marketing. So people on this poster, if you're ones that stick out to me, are Jacob Schaffelberg, Kyle Larin, and Jonathan Osorio. Three players who we think Schaffelberg has an injury. He's getting his, I think it's a groin injury. Kyle Larin, who will have a couple comments about it, hasn't been playing in Feyenoord, and is, we're looking to see if something's going to change. And Jonathan Osorio played in the last window, but is kind of on the bubble. What do you think about not just the marketing, but does it send a message that these players are integral to Canada soccer?
Are you reading into the who the players are on the
poster? Yes,
I absolutely am.
No, I think it's interesting, actually.
Absolutely. I don't know how you guys couldn't. They're putting these players up as a federation, as your talisman, as your poster boys. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let Charms talk.
But they're international footballers that were in squads and played over the last number of games. They're all legends in their own right. I'm just wondering if you would think,
you know, all of a sudden Jacob Schaffelberg is injured for the next bit, probably won't play. Why would you have him as a poster on the poster?
Can you put it back up? One other poster?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I put Ali in there. I think Ozo's there because it's in Toronto.
Yeah.
Partly. I don't know if there's much thought put into it.
There should be. Is my point.
Maybe there is. I mean, I'm curious whether that the marketing has. Listen, we know that companies love meetings. There has to be a meeting about this and a meeting about the meeting, right? And about who should be on the poster. Does the playing staff, the coaching staff, have any? Let Jesse Marsh get consulted in any kind of the marketing. We're doing this poster. We're going to put Kyle there, and we're going to put Schaff on the left there. I put Ali Ahmed in there personally. That's what I do. Just because he's kind of the hot thing right now.
Yeah, but you're also trying to sell tickets, and those are local boys too, right?
Well, Schaff.
And that's what I want to talk about.
Well, no, not Schaff, but Oso being front and center.
Yeah, Oso makes total sense, but Kyle.
Maybe
Kyle is. Yeah.
Not to put Jimmy on the spot here, but let's start rumors about Kyle Larin coming to Toronto. Ooh, maybe that's what it is.
Wow. This is one of the reasons that's I brought my rumor. It up.
I've heard nothing, by the way.
No.
Oh.
I also want to say, Wanger, before you launch into this comment, that I thought it was clever in the graphic that, yes, we can get into why those players were chosen, but I think it's seven players, and it looks like the Canada Soccer logo. It's right? You've got the three, or like a
maple leaf. Oh, it's a great looking.
Did the AI look at the shape of heads and how they were fit into a maple decided. Kyle's got to be bottom right at that kind of corner where the leaf stalk. Is it a stalk and a leaf?
Stem.
Thank you. It's stem into the leaf. His angled head would work very well there. Ali wouldn't.
Right.
But Shaft's curls do really well where the points are.
Oh, see? That's a good point. Yeah. AI, Canada Soccer and their AI marketing. Here's the question from our friend Dan Birch, 5834. I wonder if it's time for Larin to come back to MLS. His last few stops in Europe haven't gone super well, and he'll get plenty of minutes if he came back across the water. I think his experience will be valuable at the World Cup, but you don't take him for that alone because we have plenty of experience outside of him. Let's talk MLS. Jimmy, you can stay out of it, but is it a good move for him to come back to MLS and get a lot more playing time, or at least playing time? Charms?
I want to ask the players, it's the footballers, because I can't understand motivations and their ambitions. So Craig, so Carl Aaron. He was actually pretty good at Mallorca last year, I thought. At times. Yeah. Hasn't worked out for him at all at Feyenoord at all. But he's what? Is he 30 now? How old's Kyle? I think he's 30.
I think so.
So he hasn't got that many years left. He can make a good pay packet in MLS in a slightly lower level, where I think he can still score goals and rediscover his confidence. But from an ambition standpoint, Craig, if you're a professional footballer who's done the MLS thing already, he's gone to Europe, he's had some decent success, is it tough to move back? Is that almost saying, okay, now it's my swan song, it's time to say farewell, I'll play a couple of years here?
I don't think he cares. I don't. I think he just needs to go somewhere he's going to play. And if MLS is where he's going to play, perfect. That standard that level of MLS is getting better all the time. We've seen lots of players playing, tons of players playing in MLS that are making World Cup squads. He just needs to be playing. And that's his main goal, no matter where that is.
Yeah, I agree. I think he does. Good move for him back to MLS, I think, would be great. I mean, that's where it pretty much started for him. Playing in Orlando, played a lot of games, scored an awful lot of goals. And then ended up heading to, where do you go, Besiktas?
Besiktas, yeah.
Yeah. Ended up going over there, and he's had a great career in Europe. So why not come back to North America with the opportunities there for you? Mm-hmm. He's proven to score goals in the league.
Jimmy, do you know how discovery rights work in MLS? Would the team have them on him?
I'm sure probably someone must have them.
That's so weird.
AI, our good friend AI says, so MLS discovery rights are a system letting teams claim first dibs on non-MLS players, not on other rosters. Allow them exclusive negotiation. Yeah. But I'm wondering, just because he's been here before.
Yeah, I don't know whether like Orlando have his rights because they haven't told them. So
yeah, maybe.
I tell you what, I mean.
Go play with Max.
Yeah. Mm. But I still think Jimmy stay out of this. Whenever we mention TFC, I say Jimmy stay out of it. But he would look good at TFC, and he's not going to cost you $25 million. I think Josh Sargent would be very good in Toronto as well, but he's expensive. Just saying that, it wouldn't be the worst fullback option or an addition, because he's going to be essentially, you're just paying a salary. I can't imagine Feyenoord want much money.
Right? Well, wouldn't it be, isn't his contract with Mallorca?
Oh, he's a loan at Feyenoord, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
But he's not worth, sadly, you're not going to get much for a player you've loaned out, I wouldn't think. Mm.
Hmm. Yeah. Feyenoord might not even have paid the full wages. They might have just paid part of it.
Right. Right. It'll be interesting, though. I think it'll be the next few days. Get a move, Kyle. I want to see you playing football. Let's hope he's not. We want depth at Canada, right? And we want strikers competing for opposition. I think a lot of people have written him off. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous.
Second most comments was our show that we started off with Marcelo Flores when he's decided to play for Canada. Going to pull that up. Our friend, God, this is always hard. At Raphael Sengkraut.
Just do Raphael. Don't worry about the
Raphael.
I
want to give people their props, though, right? Honestly, I'm a little jaded by Marcelo Flores. I don't want Canada to be his second chance. I'm a first-generation Canadian, just like him. And for me, I'd always choose Canada first, no matter what. JC, who's a frequent commenter, I also feel for the players whose loyalty to Canada has never wavered. Some of them, it appears, will be moved down the pecking order now for a kid in Mexico didn't want, because frankly, if Mexico did want him, and this was Kreger's point, he would never have answered Jesse's call. And Rafael Perez, so I've seen his name here and there, but he says, Marcelo Flores is better than Jaden Nelson, Liam Miller, and Schaffelberg. So lots to take from and comment from that one. Dubs?
Yeah, I just think the last one's a little bit random. Like, it's not really like for like. That's not what you're doing. And this is a kid who's still going to have to prove himself. Mm-hmm. Right? And we talked about the value that his profile has. I think Canada desperately needs a creative force. And if he can provide that, in that role, we also talked about how many minutes and how relied upon Jonathan David is. Like, he's not getting moved out of that spot. But if you have somebody who can slot in there. That would be interesting. And also we've talked about, you know, versatility of players and how that's going to work to their advantage as Jesse Marsh rounds out his roster. So he still has a ton to prove. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should be holding anything over this kid and feeling jaded and feeling pissed off that somebody wants to come and play for Canada.
I've got a real issue with this. These people, these experts who know all about the situation and the mindset of someone they've never even fucking met. Oh, he's second choice. I just believe it. You don't know anything. That the hate this guy had when all this bullshit started trickling down the webosphere about, oh, he doesn't want to play here. He's just using us. And now he's saying he wants to play, and that's not good enough either. Shut up.
You're a first generation Canadian.
Yeah, like, quite honestly, yeah. I would go where the best opportunity is for me and my family. And if he's scoring 25 goals a year at Tigres, he's probably going to agree to play with Mexico because there's way more opportunity there than up here. Okay, and I would have no problem with that whatsoever. But the reality is, he's got opportunity to play for Canada, have a nice little career, could be a great career. Good for him. I don't give a damn whether we're first, second, third, fourth. We're Canada. We can't be saying, oh, nope, sorry, we weren't first choice, don't want you. Give yourselves a shake. Am I wrong?
Yeah. If he turns out to be something good for Canada, well then so be it. But like Dub says, he's got to prove himself.
So. Yeah. This is Owen Hargreaves, the ghost of Owen haunting Canadian fandom. They're getting their backs up because of that, which was, guys, that was 20 years ago.
People don't remember Owen Hargreaves, just so you know. I know who Owen Hargreaves is. You have to be late 40s, early 50s to remember Owen Hargreaves, at least that threshold.
I'm not a little bit late 40s, and I remember him a lot.
But do you remember
he played for four teams?
I know, but do you remember all the?
Yeah,
that was a. Do you remember all of the kind of politics around it and the bashing?
Maybe not as much as you do, but I do remember.
Okay, well, that's my point. It's not about remembering Owen Hargreaves, the player. It was him choosing England over Canada. That was the big deal.
To be fair, though, Canada wasn't even a glimmer of hope for that World Cup.
I don't disagree with you, but it was about him saying, hey, I grew up in Calgary. I'm playing for England. That was the big deal, where there was no... kind of opportunity to move forward on the Canadian mm-hmm. national team because they weren't even involved at that point. Craig, would you have, Craig and Jimmy, did you guys have a crossover with Owen Hargreaves and an opportunity to play with him?
Well, not really. But I mean, obviously, there was that a lot of discussion about him and his decision not to play for Canada. Is like, oh, Canada overlooked him when he was a young player. It's like, fucking get over yourselves. People get overlooked all the time, and people are late developers. You know, he might not have been right at the time. And what are you going to do? Blame that one coach that decided not to take him? Oh, Canada, you know, he's upset with Canada. Like, no.
Yeah. No. He's playing at Bayern Munich, right? In Germany. He can play for England at a World Cup mm-hmm. that they were one of the favorites for. Mm-hmm. And with due respect to your Canada at the time, Jimmy, Craig, you know, Craig, you just retired at that point. I think 02, right? Yeah, 02. But Jimmy, you're very much in your... Like, with respect to that team, there was probably more opportunity playing for England at a World Cup than for Canada. And I'm sorry, it's sport. It's not a war. Can we get over this thing? You know, it's sometimes people compare the two. It's not the same. It just isn't. Be loyal. Love and listen, Dubs. And I can see, I can almost read in your face there, like you had such passion to play for your country, as did these other two guys. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I'm not saying it's nothing. It's important, yes. But it's not. You're not representing your country on the battlefields of the Somme. It's sport. You got to look a little bit beyond it, don't you?
Love is a battlefield.
Jimmy? I know it's hard for you guys because you represented the country. I never did. I can't really. This is just pure opinion.
Look, he was in Bayern Munich for so long. His parents are English. And England called him up because of performance that he was having. Canada at that time wasn't the best. And career-wise, is it a better move for him playing for England than it was in Canada? 100% it was. 100%. He ended up going to Man United. He was at City. I mean, obviously, he didn't play much because he was injured. But, you know, he set himself up perfectly for after football. Playing for England, I think, 50 caps for England. I think it was 2008. He was the England Player of the Year. Now he's doing all the broadcasts and commentating. So it set him up perfectly for his career. And obviously, with the Canadian squad at the time, I mean, they weren't going to win a Gold Cup. They weren't going to go to the World Cup. And if England comes calling, you go at the time. I mean, look, it's like if you're a hockey player from Latvia and Canada says, we want you to come play for Canada, what are you doing? You're going to go play for Canada because you got plenty of opportunities to win or, you know, set yourself up for after football or hockey, whatever it may be. So
I totally agree. Jimmy, it's always funny when it's the other way around, right? Whenever Canadians go, oh, they like promise David, right? All of a sudden he's joining Canada.
Stefan Justecia could have played for Portugal.
Yeah. We're always there.
Look, I mean, the thing is, it's with him, yes, he was born in Canada, but his parents are English. Look, if you take a German shepherd breeding in Japan, is it still a German shepherd or is it Japanese shepherd?
Not German.
Right? Your loyalty in the family.
So fucking convoluted now. Jesus Christ.
But you still have a loyalty, right? Like my mother's Scottish, father's Irish. I appreciate where they're from. I was born here. I had an opportunity to play for England or for Scotland and Ireland. And I ended up playing for Canada. But, you know, you still have that close connection, close ties because your family still all lives there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your relatives, your cousins. So you do have that connection. So for him getting a call up from England, I'm sure with his family, his aunts, uncles, cousins, they must have been delighted for that opportunity.
Thank you. Cool, the comments from Latvians, Canadians, and dog breeders. Everybody up in arms.
Hey, Craig. See, Craig and I were in media back in those days, right? How many times do you have this conversation? And here we are now in 2026, picking up these ghosts from the past, Owen Hargreaves. I bet the hardcore Canada fans are loving this right now.
The best one was that Owen Hargreaves had an English accent before he ever lived there.
It's kind of Germanic English, wasn't it? It was a weird accent. He went to Manchester.
Yeah. Oh, I never realized he had an accent living in Calgary from his parents, obviously, then, right?
Well, he certainly had one when he played for England.
He picked it up really quickly. It's like Jimmy's, I don't know. Like there is a lilt there, right?
But yeah, John,
you pick it up a little bit. I mean, even with my mother, she'll yell at me. And she's like, I don't even understand what you're saying. Can you speak Scottish, please? And I'll be like, Mom, how do you not know what I'm saying?
Maybe your mic wasn't working.
And then she gets frustrated with it.
But did you say his parents were both English?
Yeah, Welsh and English, isn't it? Or grandmother was well, he could have played for Wales, England, Germany. I think maybe Germany could have done.
Okay, but if his parents grew up in England and they came over to Canada and he grew up in a household where both his parents had an accent of some sort, like there are tons of Scots where I grew up in St. Bruno on the south shore of Montreal because of a big company called Pratt & Whitney. And loads of Scottish people came over. So I had tons of friends in a neighborhood and at school that not only in the household, but outside of the house and playing on the street and in school, they had a Scottish accent because their immediate environment was that. So, I mean, we can criticize all we want, but kind of you're a reflection of where you grow up.
He was pretty young when he went to Germany, so he should have had a German accent.
Yeah.
Munich. Was his father German?
Yeah. I played for Bayern Munich.
He wants me to play for Canada. You gotta go.
Yeah.
See you, Jimmy.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Jimmy. Later.
Jimmy's got good timing because we're reading the Kara comments that are negative. Some of them.
See ya.
Oh, really?
Bye, Jimmy. Okay, guys, get ready to defend ourselves.
Oh,
shoot.
Oh, this one. Yeah, this is.
Can someone read the top? Because the recording thing is in the front of mine. Can someone read
that? I think it's Dub. Kevin. Yeah, go ahead, Charles.
Yeah, Kevin Dubb says, comment section really taking shape this week. I am too shocked. Shocked! Exclamation mark. That Amy Walsh said dick. Definitely not letting my kids into this podcast, no matter how much they beg. And the nerve talking to Kara Boomer 86 and not getting her to take on Toronto's starting 11 for this season. I think he's being a little bit sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Kev.
And then the next one was from our friend Michael Hall. Okay. Yeah. I don't know about you, but for me, it shows an E next to the podcast, meaning explicit, meaning it may contain strong language on themes that some listeners might find offensive. So I think he was
about language. I didn't see that.
Well, yeah. People are there's a commenter named David Villa who's always pushing back against everything that we say, but particularly yeah. About Amy. But can someone read the third comment? But it's from Elizabeth. I can't read that.
Magnus dot here.
Yeah. So please read that one, Amy.
Elizabeth. Magnus Doctor. Okay. I don't understand why Footy Prime is dedicating an episode on LAFC of all places. Not to be harsh on the guests, but in this era of US-Canada relations, it's just not good optics to see people who have abandoned Canada for the US being platformed. You guys can do better.
No, we can't.
We can't do any better than Kara.
So
that's the worst take I've read for a long time.
That's a horrible take, and we'll talk about it. But the final one was, I read that one, Charms, because you were there.
Artist P something or other. Artist P U4? Anyway, 6 minutes talking about feet. What a waste of time. We're definitely a waste of time.
Yeah.
Can't debate that one.
You're listening to the wrong podcast.
And then you know what a waste of time is? Having the time to go to the computer and putting that in.
I think you've got plenty of time in your hands or on your feet there, artist.
Awesome. Or come along and join us, right? Come and join the waste of time. That's what we're doing. We give you the permission to go in and tell us that we're being unpatriotic, talking to a Canadian over the border about the world's most popular sport. And if you're going to judge us on this amazing Canadian who's done so much for Canadian women's national team soccer, who's in the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, who's a legend on the pitch, but has married an American and lives there and has been making her life there, then that's up to you. That's a crazy comment and so ill-informed. That's the nice word for it. Dubs, you have anything to say about that?
Oh, I think you said it all. But beyond what Carr has done for the game and what she did in Canada when she left, like to accuse her of being, I think, Sharms, you said this in a dark web, of being a traitor? Like, fuck you. I usually say fuck off, but fuck you. And she's brilliant. She's a brilliant analyst. And more than that, she's a brilliant person who's hilarious and looks at the game through a lens that nobody else has and can offer a perspective that we go and seek out. And she happens to be my pal, so we can have her on. And that's tremendous.
Traitor. She's a traitor.
And regardless of all that, unfollow, don't like, don't subscribe.
that's the beauty, right, of this kind of platform. You have to actually search it out and click a button to listen or watch. Mm-hmm. We're not making you do this. You don't have to consume our content. You can always wake up in the morning, you know what, today I am not going to consume Footy Prime's content. That's your choice. Yeah. I mean, it's a stupid, ill-informed decision, but that is your right. And this whole thing about, that's the kind of person who gets offended for other people when they're actually quite fine. We're sports fans talking about an American team that happens to have a couple of Canadians on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In fact, a big name Canadians just joined that team.
Mm-hmm.
Good content. Mm-hmm. And just because this orange baboon that runs that country to the south is saying all sorts of things about baboons, us, doesn't stop us from talking about football teams within that country. We weren't talking politics.
No, we weren't. No.
And anyway, thanks for the take. Great content for us.
Thank
you. We don't have to talk about it, but we chose to. And I'm happy for it.
Me too. I thought it was important to bring up because I think it was Kevin who first was being facetious and satirical at the top one. So I wanted to give him props for defending us. And it's, look, to your point, Charms, you don't have to listen. But we like when you listen and comment. So if you want to tell Amy to fuck off now, you can too. But it wouldn't make a lot of sense. Not only that, Mark DeSantos, head coach, Mathieu Chouinard plays there. LAFC has a bunch of Canadians who are making a difference in the States, and they're in California. So that's just coincidence. And these are the times. So don't judge us. And if you want to, judge away. But it doesn't make any sense. So once again, ill-informed, ill-researched, and this is Footy Prime. So we won't do better. How about that?
We aspire to nothing better than we're already doing.
Talk about for spite. 10 minutes next time.
Yes, exactly. Dubs, it is for spite. This is like I'm returning this for spite.
That's right.
There you go.
I don't think you can return an item based purely on spite. No, you said spite. Also, I'd like to just throw something out there that the absolute first thing that you hear when, unlike in like terrestrial radio, where you can pop in at any time, the absolute first thing you hear when you tune into Footy Prime is the following program contains violence, coarse language, all that shit. So, yes, yeah. We let you know that we are going to say some shite. So yeah. Apologies if we've offended your children.
Yeah. What's that E rating?
Yeah. Right.
It says explicit, not excellent. That's for sure.
For everyone.
Explicit.
Yeah. I'll also say like the latent misogyny for being called out for language as being the only woman on the show. Like that's ever present as well.
The most foul-mouthed person I've ever known in my life was a woman. Actually, a girl back in my high school days in England. Oh, wow. She couldn't say three words without dropping F-bombs. It was actually some kind of maybe in a Tourette's type thing, I think. She couldn't. Foul mouth.
How long did you date her, Sharms?
You married her. She was.
Say hi to Tony.
On that note, Sharms.
Yeah. What?
Let's go.
Oh, we'll go? Okay.
Yeah.
There are all the comments. Yeah, I think it's a good show. I enjoyed today, even though we dealt with some negativity. Overall, I think we flew the flag and we enjoyed ourselves. So thank you for listening. Make sure you like and retweet and subscribe. Check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Comes out every Friday. And as mentioned, we're going to be mentioning probably on this week's newsletter a link to the push-up challenge. Mm-hmm. I think you can actually maybe, can they join our team? Can people join our team and raise money?
I don't know yet. Let's look into that. It'd be great if you did.
Cool. Yeah. But help donate, make some money.
Yep.
And watch Wonga, JC, and myself transform our dad.
Wait, I'm going to join too.
You said the other day you weren't going to.
No, I didn't. That was Jimmy.
No, you talked about the 91. Right. You talked about the 91 push-ups per day or 92. And you said that's one of the reasons why you weren't doing it.
No, okay. She didn't.
Maybe. I think I said I would like to join, but I've done the math and it's 90 push-ups.
Yeah, it sounded like a negative. That's all. Okay.
Could be. I still think it's a lot. But with my bum shoulder, I'm going to do it. I'll do it like.
You mentioned your bum shoulder. I think you're gaslighting me. I think Elizabeth was right.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, honestly, the best thing for this, like, do it properly. People do cheat. Don't cheat. You do see a massive difference by the end of the month. You just feel great. Mm. It's really cool. But it is challenging. That's why it's called the push-up challenge and not the push-up piece of paper.
Push-up walk in a park.
How do we know if you can cheat?
What's that?
How do we know if you're cheating or not?
That's the thing. It's on a system. You cannot cheat. There's no point cheating. We'll flex at the end of it. Okay.
I'm gonna film every push up I do.
Oh yeah? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, set up a camera.
It might do really well actually on socials.
Who wouldn't want to see these triceps get a little bigger?
Craig, can we
not your tricep?
Thank God, only the tricep.
Just one.
Craig, can we loop you in or not? Is there no chance?
No, I'm happy to do it. I've got a bit of a sore shoulder at the moment.
Oh, do you?
You also have a frozen shoulder due to menopause?
It is called. Yeah.
I'm worried about my golf swing.
Oh, well, see how you feel. Give it a little rub down. Get some heat on it. And then let's reassess in a few days' time. February the 5th is when it starts, right? So we've got time still. Okay. Anyway, that's Footy Prime, everyone. We're back some point later this week. I don't know when. Bye.
Tomorrow.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Tomorrow. Right, back tomorrow.
Let's go.
Yeah, tomorrow.
I'm so happy you're back, Charms. It's so much fun to not host.
when I heard you were brilliant, though.
No.
Let's give menopause a round of menopause.
Menopause? No. Boo. Yes.
That'd be a great name for a women's love podcast. The menopause.
I feel like it accentuates men too much.
The menopause. Longer.
Yeah.
No, stop it with your lifestyle pods.
It's not bad.
Stop it.
It's not bad. Shelaboration. We call it shelaboration.